You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
Good evening, Trinidad and Tobago, and welcome to the Insight Hub. That one there are loving right now. That is the Kaya from Freetown Collective. And welcome to the Insight Hub, where we have our pot on the fire. We have that pot boiling for sure. Welcome, welcome one and all to the Insight Hub. My name is Darian Theatrix Narayan, and I'll be taking you all straight throughout this hour where we have discussions like no other right here on Freedom 106.5. I hope you all are having a good season so far. I hope you throw some seasoning in your carnival, you throw some vibe in your carnival, and that everything really starts to stir up inside the pot, because that's the most important thing. You know, you want to have some fun and some joy and some happiness in the revelry, yes, in the party and in the festivities that are loading for this week. We are 7 days away, 7 days away from Carnival Monday. Well, less than 7 days now, because we're in the afternoon and on this Monday here. So we're almost to Carnival Monday. What are your plans for that Carnival Monday and Tuesday? I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready for some action this week. I know that is a packed week filled with events. And last night I had the opportunity to go to the Freetown concert, and that was some festivities that I really did enjoy. He had up a poster that says, "We are one." We are one is what he said on top there. That was the theme of their concert. And I just had to take a pause and say, wow, what brilliance. What a sober reminder that we are one, we are together, and that in everything that is happening within our society, within our country, within the world, it's important to remember that we are one. We are one people, one goodness, and oneness. Oneness is what we really need to promote. We need to stop promoting the segregation and the discrimination and move towards a lot more unity. That is the beauty, the true beauty to me, of the carnival. Now, I know many of y'all out there, y'all partake in the festivities, and then there's a big chunk of the country as well who just find that it ain't going in the wrong direction. So when you hear the word carnival, the question is, what comes to mind? And I always like to give a historical breakdown and background of carnival, because I find that helps us to understand even just a little bit more what the carnival truly is about, and whether we're losing the essence of what the carnival is about. Now, that's a big discourse and a big discussion that has popped up in recent times. A lot of people are saying, hey, you know, 40 years ago, I was like, wait, like I even comment on 40 years ago, I wasn't alive, you know. I wasn't alive. But they say that 40 years ago, the carnival was very different. It was about community, it was about unity, it was about standing up and against different things that threatened us as a people, different issues, standing up against corruption and disruption, standing up against a lack of integrity. In fact, the carnival 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago was political discourse. So people, their only outlet was to sing the calypso. The calypso was a song of rebellion. And then we know that our music has evolved over time. We've had the introduction of soca, and then we've had the introduction of now new calypso, and we have chutney and chutney soca. But the music originated from a place of rebellion. And if we remember our history, taking you all back to the history books, we know that carnival itself was a form of rebellion. That carnival was under the guise of dressing up, like if we're in the celebrations itself, but it was really a mockery of those who existed on the as overseers and as colonial powers on the plantations. So that's always important to remember, that this thing started as a rebellion. This thing started as our opportunity to speak out against issues that would be affecting you, that would be affecting the people there where it had no power. It gave the voiceless power, and that's real important. You see, when you have marginalized and vulnerable people, it's important that they get their voice heard, and that's what the carnival truly is about, and that's where we should return. It should be some form of standing up against those who hold power and abuse their power. You know, there's something called carnivalesque theory. A lot of people don't know about that. Do you know about carnivalesque theory by a guy called Bakhtin? Is a Russian theorist, And a lot of his theory has now found its way into modern cultural studies and around the carnival itself. And basically, he looked at the carnival as being an inversion. That carnivalist theory is a time where hierarchies were inverted, and when the low mocked the high, and when the body, ugly, exaggerated, and excessive, is celebrated rather than shamed. Real interesting. Check out that carnivalesque theory. And then there's a guy called Durkheim who he expanded upon this and says that it reminds us that these eruptions of collective joy aren't meaningless. I want to come back to that. The eruptions of collective joy that you experience during the carnival are not meaningless. They create bonds, shared values, and moral cohesion. And that's what it's about. It's always about inverting and flipping the thing on its head and then being able to stand up to those who hold the true power, who have some level of hierarchy, who have some level of influence over your society. But I found in recent times, people have started questioning what is going on with the carnival. It is no longer a space for political commentary. I don't know how much political commentary you've heard coming out of the space that's standing up against injustice, that stands up against the feelings and the realities of those who exist on the margins of society, the vulnerable. Instead, it has moved into a commercialized product. And we've seen that lead into a space where it's almost like if they're neutralizing the people speaking out. So calypso and rapso, you know, I find is sometimes a hard form that's treated like a thing that needs a rock so. And the soca now has become this commercialized product that promoting a different kind of vibe, a party and fete vibe. And a lot of people are questioning whether it's impacting the morality of the society. And that is a question that is being asked. So I ask you right now, what do you think about the carnival at this moment? I give you all a brief history of what it's supposed to represent and where it's supposed to be going. And right now, in this day and age, the carnival has taken a different spin. Do you think that the carnival has become extremely immoral? Do you think that you need to have some sort of things put in place to, you know, sort of police the carnival itself? We have a caller on the line.
Hey, boss. Good evening. How are you?
Hello, good evening, and
wait,
welcome.
Wait, I'm block the line. I'll talk to you, please.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me.
I know I cried out in North Pole, dry ice. I passed out sweet too, right? And I dry ice in North Pole. I wanted to do that very good job. Carnival, people, some people go, some people won't go. But this year, carnival won't be lively again because carnival is not safe again like before.
Mm-hmm.
Then my way, 25 years back, you were safe.
Mm-hmm.
Now it gets worse. So nobody might go to carnival. They might go, I'll take a walk and go back home early as possible. Before midnight, everybody cut it out because it's not safe. Juve not safe. Nothing is safe in Trinidad and Tobago, you know. Yeah, man? You know what you're talking to, right?
Yeah.
Good job. I meet you. Have we talked already?
Yeah.
Wait, I'll ask you one question before I go. Laugh or don't laugh?
Laugh now. Put that laugh in the carnival itself. That laugh in and of itself is an inversion of what society represents. Good evening and welcome. You're on
the air. Good evening. Calling from Durba Cetris here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not going to address the moral issues because I have no authority to determine what is moral for other people.
Mm-hmm. What was your opinion? Your personal opinion.
Well, it's not the kind of thing I would do,
mm-hmm.
or that I would encourage people in my family to do, or my friends, or people who I know remotely, or people who are listening. But they can go ahead if they wish.
But why?
Well, if somebody wants to do these things and it's not against the law,
mm-hmm.
and they're not interfering with me or any other person. Now, if you're walking down High Street on Carnival days, and you decide to drop a wine on somebody who didn't like it,
mm-hmm.
you know, you better be very careful about approaching people,
mm.
you know, because somebody might retaliate.
Yes, yes.
People, you know, that's my caution to those who feel, well, on this day we could do all of that. Some people don't go there for that. They go to watch or they go to play with their friends and they don't know you. And you better stay in your lane. Now, mm-hmm. other people are openly inviting. They come for that. So, you know, you need to judge that properly. And when in doubt, just leave it alone, I would think, for, you know, for the reduction of complications.
Mm-hmm.
These complications could be very bad. Now, regarding the the social commentary, the bringing of the news and so on by the Calypsonians, that is no longer useful. People want to hear commentary on a daily basis by the various callers on all the programs, on all the radio stations. They have WhatsApp, Instagram, Facebook group, this, that, and the other, where they express themselves, and they can comment too. That's where the comment and counter-comment is now. It's not somebody waiting to hear. In fact, I was listening to a program on Friday, and one of the regulars there, that as I am a regular, said, Mr. Pinal, he was listening to another station, and they said, like, Mr. Pinal, stop calling here since he win. They're waiting to hear me, right? And, of course, where I was calling, and I'm calling here, people want to hear me. They want to hear familiar voices. They're not waiting for the Calypsonian to sit down and bring them the news if he makes it to the competition and that kind of thing. It's a lot more dynamic now. Not just Mr. Pinale. I don't make the talk shows. I'm just a kind of a popular person in these things. It just turned out that way over the years. That's just the reality, right? I'm saying some people might feel it bigging up yourself, but others will tell you that's true.
Mr. Pinale, so if you had to big up yourself, big up
in
yourself.
In this forum of radio talk shows, people have emerged across radio stations, and these are the commentators that people listen for. And then they make their comment, and sometimes there's counter-comment and cross-comment, and people get angry, and people break the rules, and people get nasty. And this is where it is going on, not on the Calypso stage anymore. I mean, they're still singing with each other and against each other, and they're throwing pekong for each other. But the whole importance of that has lessened so much. Now, people just get vexed when I say essentially Calypso is useless, and that's why you get all this, come and shake your bam bam, and I want to do this to you, and I want you to do that to me. They have gone there because that is the market. The messaging, the news, the social commentary is out of their reach anymore. It's not in their hands anymore. So they go into the whole bam bam scene. Yeah, man, thanks.
Yeah, Mr. Pinal. So we've been talking about the morality of the carnival. Is there any morality left in the carnival? Is there any area where you can experience just some good family fun? So Mr. Pinal there, of course, sharing his perspective on that reality. I know that other people have some other perspectives. I saw today, today self, I saw an article released and some outrage around one of the mass bands having in their packages, their pre-carnival packages, a sex toy, a rose inside there. And of course, there's been outrage around that as well. People are questioning how that reached there, how that reached in the carnival. Other people are saying, well, you know, it's people's private business. They pay for that as a commercialized product, and therefore no set of moral police should be inside that space. What is your take on that? Feel free to call us at 625-2257, 625-2257, or WhatsApp us at 306-1065, 306-1065. Let's talk. We have a caller on the line. Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Inside Hub.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Mm-hmm.
The Night Rider.
Night Rider.
I want to ask something, please. Mm-hmm. Carnival, right? People have to be careful how they take and drink. Some people on drugs and then with sleeping tablets. I number one, you know? People who mentally take a tablet and they'll get it somewhere in line or buy it and take it and throw it in people's drinks. Got to be careful with that. One tablet make you sleep whole day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A line of talking suit.
No, people are being drugged out there. Up,
yeah, be a young girl to pick it up, or an old lady, or a young girl, or second hand, or medium. And they go with them, you know what I mean? Right? Number two, people have to watch how they dress in. They have an eye attraction. When you look at them, that eye will attract them when they're half drunk. They might touch you, might try something, and that will cause starving and killing and gun shooting. All right or wrong? I could go out or laugh.
That is a big topic that he's bringing inside the discussion there. The negotiation of space when you're out on the road, when you're in a carnival fete. Is it okay to take a wine? That's questions that people are asking as well. Is whining and the way in which we wine now a real big problem inside there? Should we even be whining in the fete, or should it be a different type of dance? We have a caller on the line. Hello, good evening. Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Inside Hub.
Hello?
Yes, you're live on air.
Yes. Yes, good evening, good evening. Princess Tong here.
Talk to my Princess Tong.
Yes, well, I think it's so very good that radio stations like yours and others have opened up these call programs, you know, where citizens can interact and there's a whole debate and consensus and discussions and so on via all these various radio stations. So as the point Mr. Pinal was making, the Calypso as a forum for information and expression and all is very good, I agree. But you really can't sit down and wait for Carnival just to hear what is happening to get a feel or a sense of society, etc.
So do you think that the Calypso should be happening year round? Let me ask you that question.
Well, perhaps. I know Calypso is a nice art form in terms of the music and the compositions and the lyrics. It's nice, but the thing is that I don't know how it is in Trinidad. We have not been able to have it all year round. I mean, like Jamaica or, you know, and things like that. We ourselves have restricted the Calypso and steel panel are just for the carnival season, and when Ash Wednesday come, we pack up everything and until next year. And if you're talking about culture, I don't know that it can't be a 1 month culture. Culture is something is 24 hours, is every day, is every, you know, it's something living. It's a living organism, and it's something that is very dynamic and et cetera, et cetera. You can't define your culture as just 1 month or 2 months of the year. So what about the rest of 10 months? So it has to be sustainable. It has to be relevant. And also, it has to be... Now, I tell you the truth. Nothing wrong with the Calypso and the Pecan and even the little politics, but look how Chalky and Sparrow and these older Calypsonians, how they did it. With a level of a kind of, decorum, without being disrespectful, without even being malicious. You know, like yes. I remember Chalky sang a Calypso some years ago. He said, the driver can't drive. I think that was in the NER time. And everybody knew he was referring to the prime minister, governance, et cetera, et cetera. So nothing is even wrong with having the political. But when you openly use the art form, as I understand it, the Calypso stage as a political forum, an open political forum, I think that is something we have to discuss, and that is something we have to be take note of.
So do you think that the literary skill has been removed from the Calypso? Is that what you're saying? That has been more or less kind of watered down?
Well, of course, if you think about the jam and wine and everything else, while on this, I could tell you too, I will tell you this now, I am an East Indian, and I vehemently condemn what is passing as chutney singing as culture to it. I want to make that abundantly clear. I do not subscribe and endorse or concur with what we call in chutney singing now as authentic Indian culture. So but who want to engage and indulge in that? No problem. Because it's almost, in many respects, the same thing about rum and jam and wine. I can't see how that could be some kind of culture. I think of culture as being something uplifting, something inspiring, something entertaining, no problem. And probably with little tinge here and there, as they would say, smut like with Sparrow on them. But you can't come out openly and desecrate and denigrate and say, that's the culture. What culture? What are you talking about? How can we, how can the state of itself use its resources to denigrate itself, more or less, its leadership, its leaders, its politicians, its teachers, whoever it might be, and under the guise of talent and culture? To me, that is something we have to talk about, and I will go further. I intend to do this now. I have been one of those persons who have been, if you want to call them, a radio caller for years now. And I plan, if you allow me, to use your station, because this is one of the main stations I engage with. And I am going to call for a national discussion on racism in Trinidad and Tobago. Because a lot of our issues, if you listen to it, the calypso, the commentary, social, even the radio programs and things, a lot of people say, but they know Trinidad is, the politics is race and race and race, and every Monday morning something happening in news, there's always a racial slant, etc., etc., etc. And I am saying the time has come. In fact, it should have been years ago.
I hear you. I said, I hear any discussion.
I think we should have an open, dispassionate discussion and debate about racism in Trinidad and Tobago. Let's get to the root of it.
So I want to agree with the caller there. I think that really, honestly and truly, we need to be looking at all our systems. We need to be looking at all aspects of the culture to see where discrimination is becoming a big issue, whether it be racial discrimination, whether it be gender discrimination, because even within our music, there's a significant level of gender discrimination that takes place. There's a significant level of racial discrimination that takes place. There's a significant level of discrimination based on where you're from and where you've come from as well. Yes, hello, good evening, and welcome. Hello, good evening. Welcome to the Inside Hub. Please. All right, sorry about that, caller. We lost you there. So the question really is around what is happening with our culture and who are the gatekeepers? That's what I want to know. Who are the gatekeepers? Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Inside Hub.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, we just want you to lower the volume on your radio.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, and you know.
Yeah. Firstly, let me congratulate you on the pieces you presented at the beginning of the program. It was exciting, it was in-depth, and I commend you on the research you did. In fact, I'm going to look up some of the...
Sorry about that, caller. I think we lost you. The radio was echoing a little bit too much in the background there. So please call back and just turn off the radio when you call back, because we wanted to really hear the engagement that you were going with. But I'm asking the question once again. Feel free to call us at 625-2257, 625-2257. And the question that I'm continuing to ask is, who are the gatekeepers? Hello, good evening.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, you hear me better now?
Yes. Thank you, caller.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much. I was saying that the thesis you presented at the beginning of the program was very, very relevant, very exciting, well-researched, and I intend to follow up some readings on what you proposed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to put one thing here on the table. Everybody is saying that there's been some censorship this year of calypsos, political calypsos, but no one is saying who has commanded the censorship of calypsos. Whether any government official has done that, or whether it is a self-imposed statement that came out from Truco, and whether in fact that has taken public leverage. Now, my own feeling is that we can't judge the morality of other people, but that there has been a decline in moral standards in the carnival is there, and obviously everyone to see. But again, Mr. Pandey once said politics has a morality of own. Maybe Carnival and the individual have a morality of their own also.
Well, that's why I was going to ask you a question, caller, because guess what happens? For 2 days, it have some people who just go out there and they do whatever they want. We could agree with that, right? And then from the Wednesday to the tell Carnival next year, they are the best behaved. They are the most moral. They are the moral police of Trinidad and Tobago. Inside their office place, amongst their family, etc., So is it that there's a morality of its own existing within the carnival? I'm glad you asked that question. I want to throw that question out.
I think it's a morality of their own. I think it's also some people thinking that they have to keep up with the Joneses on the carnival scene and what have you. I think a lot of that is happening in the mix. But I don't want to comment on the morality of any particular individual, but and my own feeling is there has been a serious decline in morality and moral standards overall in our country. And, you know, how we deal with that will be something that, you know, leaders in the country, whether they're religious leaders, political leaders, social commentators, will have to deal with. But the issue I want to take up is really what I asked earlier. Who has given any command, as I said, I want to use the word command, to command that there should not be political calypsos in the country this year? I have not heard it coming from any official source. In that vein, let me say that I am all for political calypsos. I'm all for social commentary. I think that Trinidad and Tobago is a great democracy because of freedom of expression. Whether it's freedom of expression on your radio station, freedom of expression through Calypso, freedom of expression dance, but I think we are the greatest democracy for that. And it's something we should treasure. Calypso, in my view, has always been, and I wish it continues to be, the mirror into which leaders in the country and people as a whole will look into this mirror and say, what do I see of myself? What do I see of my society? Leaders in our country must not be thin-skinned. If you do wrong, the people must be allowed to tell you that they do wrong. It so happens that we have found a medium through music in order to express that in a literary sense and otherwise. And I think that is commendable. The quality of the compositions we have had in the past, and even today, there are a couple of great ones. I think that we should never, ever interfere in the rights of Calypsonians to sing as they see in the country. I think the day we do that, we are going to do damage to the social fabric of this country.
Mm-hmm.
If leaders do wrong, why are you afraid for people to tell you you do wrong? And if they choose to do it on behalf of the majority of people or a great segment of the people through song, then that's their right. That is their freedom. And I think that leaders in this country are too thin-skinned, very, very thin-skinned, in terms of accepting what is the reality. Leaders are creating a certain reality in the country. And having created that, you cannot expect not to be criticized. Whenever you're in a position of leadership, and especially political leadership, you have to be criticized. So I hope that there has been no official who has communicated, whether overtly or covertly, with CHUCO, or any other of the Calypso fraternity, in order to say there should be no political calypsos. Political calypsos are important. Social commentary is even of greater importance. And I think that the writing of calypsos should be something that should be encouraged in the schools. That should be taught people how to sing. Now I have been singing songs for 60 years, right? But I don't sing clips. I only sing bhajans, Hindu devotional songs. That's all I've sung for 60 years, right? And I understand what it means to sing a song that gets to your heart or to people's heart. You understand? So if Calypso does that, and Calypso awakens our soul, awakens our collective consciousness in the society of what we are and what we should not be, then, my God, let us not prevent it, because...
Kuala, so let me pause you there, because you really bring me into some areas. I want to thank you for the contributions that you had there. And then the question that we want to raise is when we look at the Calypso, that is all literary form. So the Calypso itself and the music that we have within the carnival season is supposed to be our literary form. That is supposed to be the equivalent of the poetry for us. And poetry has always been a point of resistance across the globe. Poetry has been a point of expression. And I agree with you 100%. That last caller, some brilliant insights there, that the Calypso itself cannot be policed. We cannot be policing the Calypso. And I really hope so that anybody who come out unofficially and trying to police the Calypso, they're doing damage to the culture. I think that's some brilliant insights from the last caller there. And that's so important. But then, who are the gatekeepers of our culture? Because what is going on is the question. If our culture is headed in a certain direction, then we need to identify who holds the power. We have a caller on the line. Hello, good evening and welcome.
Hello.
Yes.
Just wanted to know, that is the legendary Suresh Rambachan was speaking at you, eh? Legendary.
Legendary.
Yes, 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 absolutely. Charles Booth Gorman, he's all over the place. And as you said, that's, he's a pundit in a kind of way, the singer and son. Legendary guy, legendary. Okay. If you can't get more all around politically in Trinidad than him, okay?
Thank you, my brother, for that vote of confidence. And thank you for the caller before, Suresh Izad, and for the contributions that he made as well. So the legendary, always happy to have a legend on the air with me and to have that conversation. We're going to cut to a little bit of break. But before we go to that break, I just want to ask, who are the gatekeepers? I keep bringing that up. Because who is controlling what comes through the gate with regards to what we pass as culture? The thematic areas that are expressed within the music and within our culture. Who's controlling these things? Who says, yes, that is the song to go through on the airs, on the radio? That's the kind of questions we need to be asking. That's the questions I've been asking. We're going to cut to a little break and we'll be back in just a few.
Power up your Saturdays with Gary V's electrifying energy on Speak Your Mind Saturdays. Here, you're not just tuning in, you're transforming the show into a vibrant tapestry of opinions, laughter, and spirited debates. Get set for a day packed with the fun, the burning issues, and Gary V's infectious personality. Join the fun, fuel the conversation, speak your mind. Saturdays with Gary V on Freedom 106.5 FM. Every weekday morning, Tusker Martinez brings you the stories that matter to you. On The Human Impact, tackling the issues of the day, exploring health and wellness that hits home, diving into powerful features, bold opinions, and a book club that keeps you thinking. It's thoughtful, it's fearless, and it's yours. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Speak your mind, Trinidad and Tobago, and let's make it count. The Human Impact, only on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Tune in to Betterments with Host Space. Monday through Thursday, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a program that educates and is solution-based. Base tackles the issues that matter to you, providing a platform to speak your mind and find solutions. That's Betterments with Base, with a focus on education and resolution. This is all about making things better for you. You can reach us via phone and WhatsApp to share your thoughts and find solutions to the issues that matter to you. So if you want to make a difference and have your voice heard, tune in to Freedom 106.5 FM and join us for Betterments with Bass Monday through Thursday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Better for you. Only on Freedom 106.5 FM, where we believe that your voice matters.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Inside Hub. And today we're talking a little bit about Carnival. We're talking about the morality of Carnival and where the Carnival going. Who's in control? That's where we're at this point in time in the discussion and the conversations. And I've had some beautiful, beautiful conversations thus far with the callers who have called in and the expressions of just how they feel about the Carnival at this moment. I mean, I sit down and I look at what's going on. Hello. Ooh. We have a caller on the air. Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Inside Hub.
Good evening. Thank you for the welcome and to your listeners as well. You asked a question before you went on break in relation to who is gatekeeping our culture, but I will answer with a question and then seek to give an answer in my opinion, right?
Yes.
How do we as Trinbegonians define our culture? So in order to gatekeep something, we have to understand what it is and what is the value to who we are, right? Simply put, we could say that culture is a way of life. Everything we do, how we speak, how we raise our children, what we do in terms of legacy and succession planning. But in the respect of our carnival and in respect of our traditions and the things that we consider culture, be it our music, our food, our mass, those things should be gatekept from inception. Because what about the nitty-gritties of things like copyright laws, trademarking, things that belong to us? I identified food. Only this week gone, I saw Trinitario would have done some IP work with our local chocolate production. And what about all the singing over people's songs, and, you know, even the debates and the chutney, quote-unquote chutney soca world as well, in terms of all these playbacks and the use of these Bollywood mixes. I think we as consumers have a responsibility that we take too lightly, because there's always a two-edged sword when you come to the argument of, one, where the carnival is going, one, where the chutney music is going, one, where the calypso is being stifled. Because at the end of the day, no matter what, and no matter how much we try to deny it, our actions day to day are influenced by the politics of the day, right? Be it whatever side of the spectrum we're talking about. Unless you are not in it and you don't feel that the politics, or that you are not political and that the politics doesn't affect what you do, and when you really sit and think about it, or you get yourself into a space where you are in the thing, then you recognize how much of who we are is dictated by that, right? And so I feel like as Trinbagonians, we take things at a surface level. If that was in fact Dr. Serge Ratan Rambachan, who was the caller, two calls before myself, then I would understand where his contribution comes from being, one, a political figure, two, a public figure, and three, a pundit as well, and being in that realm of music and public life. And of course, you rightfully said, it's always good to have the perspective of persons iconic like themselves in a public forum to be able to bring some sort of factual information to the discussion. But it also means that us as young people have to be able to be willing to listen as well and take value in those of yesteryear. So in order to gatekeep, and how do we gatekeep, what we should be doing as part of that is trying to document and have those icons recorded in terms of the creation, the genesis of the carnival, of the music, of the chutney, of the soca, of the calypso. Why was political commentary so heavy at a point in time when, as you said, it's our literary device, it's our outlet, when carnival was used as a form of freedom in order to express it? We have to ask the question, have we gone too far, or is it that we are just moving with the times?
Mm-hmm.
Is it that innovation has become a friend or a foe to the thing? So I think that the questions have to be asked, but it depends on which forum and depends on the answers that you're looking for, because sometimes we are asking questions and we don't want the answers yet.
Thank you, caller. Thank you.
Right? But I would also end by saying, you know, there's an adage or cliche that says fish rotten from the head.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that it's applicable in all these cases, because at the end of the day, where are the rooms where the decisions are being made, and who are the decision makers? Who has a seat at the table?
Thank you, caller. What a conversation. What a bit of insight there as well. Who are the decision makers was the question that I was asking. Now, people who allow themselves to be governed by people who they deem to be incapable of governance are people who are not students of history. And I think that's one of the deficits that we're seeing straight across our country and our nation, is that we are not getting enough young people, we're not getting enough people on a whole understanding the historical roots of a lot of the different things that are coming up, and a lot of different realities that are popping up as well. So politics is one area where, if we were to trace back the historical complexities of politics, we could understand our modern day politics a little bit different, and we won't be doomed to repeat some of the same mistakes that we've been making for the last couple of decades. The other area is within the music, and understanding that our music, our carnival, was a tool of resistance and has been constantly a tool of resistance. There are some works from Frantz Fanon, and he breaks down a little bit of the carnival as resistance as well, and looking at that and examining that. And when we lose that essence and that idea of where the culture actually came from, because the first question that she asks is, what is our culture? The next question is, what is culture? And culture is supposed to be something that is evolving, and something that speaks to the nature of who the people are. That is what we're supposed to have as culture. That's how it's supposed to be our understanding of culture. when we don't have an essence or something grounded in who we are as a people, then we're going to run into a lot of problems. And to ground ourselves in who we are as a people, we need to understand historical contexts, which is what the last caller was also alluding to. So I agree with that. Do you know that we have a data deficit in Trinidad and Tobago? So even if you were to go into statistical office, a lot of our statistics are sometimes so outdated that they're not relevant to contemporary times. In fact, many of our statistics that exist within the statistical office, they are before COVID. Do we understand and comprehend what COVID has done to our culture, to us as a people, to realities that we exist within? Have we assessed the complications of COVID in regards to the culture and the outputs that have happened? Have we been able to measure pre-COVID music and musicality and what it did and how people reacted to it, to post-COVID music and musicality? Have we traced the evolution of that? These are the kind of studies and the kind of questions that we need to be conversing about. Because when we are absent in terms of the way in which we interact with our culture, in the way in which we question our culture, when we as the mass, as the people, are absent in our process, somebody with high financial resources will find themselves making the decisions for us. And therefore, remember when I told you all at the beginning of this segment here, that the carnival is an inversion, and that's traditionally what it was supposed to be. If we're not careful, then we allow people to control what that inversion looks like. We allow people to control the outputs of what carnival is supposed to be. And that's happening within the music. But is it also happening within the politics? Hello, good evening, and welcome.
Hello, good afternoon. Well said, my brother.
Thank you.
What happened also to carnival and the culture of carnival is really a storytelling thing. Do you remember Peter Menschel?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, please, go on.
Yeah, we used to explain certain things, and then I remember when we had black and white TV and wherever, back in the past, that there's always a story behind the band. Mm-hmm. And the bands were so rich and full of everything. I could distinctly remember the Indian Feathers Mass. I don't see much of that again. Mm-hmm. And they wore that mass with pride. You see, just as how the Jab is of Indian origin, is East Indian origin, the original Jab, the brothers that are fast and things spoke about it, and they say how it was hidden. But we, our own, get somewhat captured, and you know, we couldn't practice it, but they practice it in a certain way. And in the same way that the history is portrayed in the carnival parades, and we're moving away from that. I don't like this, what's taking place here, the recent hot topic now. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes. And you?
Yeah, I'm not into that topic. That is like the invasion of devilism in something that is supposed to be good and clean. You understand? Because all our parades on both sides of the divide are really ways that in the past we brought out our history. Most times history is handed down orally, mm-hmm. you know, through oral traditions and with festivals and rituals. And that is an invasion of something that is not supposed to be that way. And I'm very disappointed because our culture is such that we always express ourselves and bring the deep history of where our origins from within the festivals and stuff like that. So I hear what you're saying, and that has to be maintained. We have to go back to the storytelling that carnival is. And like I say, all of the divides have partaken in the carnival history, and there is deep history in the two major ethnic groups in this country within the carnival. I kid you not. You know, so I'm disappointed in the direction it is going, and we really need to bring it back in terms of, you know, get back to the traditional storytelling and stuff like that. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Kola. I love that. Go back to the tradition of storytelling. So in the absence of data and statistics, oral tradition is what's supposed to pass on parts of our history. Now, I am an advocate for moving towards data and statistics, don't get me wrong. But I'm also an advocate for the qualitative aspect of the works that we have. And research is twofold. It must be quantitative and qualitative. And that storytelling is a qualitative essence that adds so much to who we are as a people. It gives us the understanding through emotion and expression. And the combination of the two are essential for us to know where we're going. So when you're talking storytelling, I want to ask another question. What happened to our traditional mass? Or Midnight Rubber, Period Grenade? What happened to the Bookman? You mentioned the jab. Where are they in the mass? In certain places and spaces. Sometimes I go and I take in the traditional mass that happens on Saturdays. They have it at different spots and different places across the country. But we can't lose that essence. Why is it not being passed down? Why are we losing some of those elements? I don't see a lot of young people coming out now and taking up the Midnight Rubber or taking up the Period Grenade, which is my favorite, by the way. So then what do we need to do in there as well? We can't afford to lose that storytelling aspect. So when we examine in the culture as a whole, when we examine in the carnival, and we examine in what it means and what it's about, we need to really understand that it might be under attack. Because when I look at it, I watch the commercialization of it, and don't get me wrong, I love a good fete, I love a good party. But that cannot be the definition of what the carnival is. It cannot. Because now we're seeing parties and fetes also move into a high level of exclusivity. And if you know your history, then you'll know that's how carnival started. It was because of it being exclusive festivities at that point in time. In the 1800s. It was because of the exclusivity then that the carnival was born. So if we're having that right now where, you know, you have to get approvals to go into the fete, where it's excluding a segment of society, is it that what we're experiencing right now is an evolution of the carnival culture? Is it that we're going to see that resistance come up again? Is it that we're going to see people talking out against the things that oppress them, the things that marginalize them, and the things that put them in vulnerable situations and circumstances? Are we going to see people speaking out against things that remove their voice from what is right and what is wrong within the carnival? What is truly us and what is just a commercialized product? I just throwing out the questions. I just asking the questions. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Insight Hub with myself, Darian Narain. And this discussion has really given me some life inside there. Because you all have me questioning what is really going on in this area. Now, some of these things were my innermost thoughts, and I was just wondering. I said, let me throw it out here today and see if I have other people who are thinking what is going on, what needs to change, where are we? I see somebody here has just sent in a WhatsApp message from Anil in Arima. He says, no one can convince me that hedonism, promiscuity, and alcoholism is my culture. All right. So then what is your culture? Is the question that we need to be asking. And when we have so much power makers and power players in the decision-making process of the culture, so many gatekeepers, how is that influencing where we're going? You know, art follows life, but life follows art. As a famous saying, and I know you all know it. So if the culture is being policed in a certain way, if the music that we hear is being policed in a certain way, then that means that the way in which we live could be influenced by that same culture, that same policed music could influence the manner in which we operate, in which we function. And therefore, we really need to go back to the drawing board and take a look at the lyrics. Now, I must big up some of the new artists who are doing different things out there. As I mentioned at the beginning of my segment, I went to the Freetown concert and I thought it was absolutely fantastic. The message in their music that Freetown Collective has is something that is completely different. It's new, it's something called New Calypso that's coming out there. A new emergence, a new style, and I really like that. And you have a lot of other players inside there who are also leaning into that. That new style of music, of messaging. So to all of those who are involved in that space, a truly, truly good job. Commendations to all of you all. I had an amazing experience. And as we move forward, I want to encourage those young people out there who might be listening in to really question what is going on. To just ask questions. Why is this like this? When did this change? When did this happen? And then only after you've had the questions answered to your fill, you can make your judgment on what is really going on with the carnival and what direction we should be headed. But I don't want you all to be passive consumers. This is my final message here. Don't be passive consumers of what is being passed off as culture to you. You really have to ask the hard-hitting questions and understand how your own identity interplays with the reality of what is being presented as culture out there to see the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Darian Ryan. It's been beautiful being here with you all for the last hour. I feel like if we could have gone for another hour. But I myself have to go and enjoy parts of the culture. So I want to wish you all a very, very good evening. I want to tell you all out there, I wish you all the best for the carnival, whether you're going to take in different aspects. I know that the Calypso is a big thing for many people. So for those of you who are going to take that and enjoy that, the Flavor Village, it's still open. I wonder if it's still open. I think so. I went a couple times. That was also a very beautiful experience. You also have a lot of different festivities. I know the Camberley riots are on this Friday as well, early in the morning. So if you want to wake up and take that in, also a beautiful experience. Stick fighting was on and about. I think it more or less wrapped up there. But I have a lot of different things that are happening. So that's it. We cut to the news now. Have a good evening. My name is Darian Ryan, and this has been the Inside Hub.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
106.5.